Greetings, Game Cola faithful, and welcome to the Game Cola podcast. This is podcast number 180, and hope the topics won't be too weighty. I am your host and podcast commander, Joseph Martin, joined by...
I'm Blue Rider, and I am light.
I am John Rizzi. I am the exact opposite of light.
Heavy.
Well, then you can't be on the podcast, because I very specifically said that thing about not being too weighty. So, sorry, John.
This has been the most offensive episode of the Game Cola podcast. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
You were the one who said you were weighty. You were heavy. Like, that wasn't coming from me.
And you still...
It's just because of the words
you still
follow
said, through like with the weight whole, discrimination. I know. I get it.
This is like the vegan thing all over again.
We're also joined by Teddy.
What?
Okay. I was really hoping he would jump on. That would
have
been
so
good.
Here's the real problem that's plaguing our society.
Video games.
Where are the video games? Where are they? Where did they go?
Where did they come from, Cotton Eye?
We can't find them.
Yeah. It's
now that's insensitive. No, where are the video games, though? Like, I can't think of, like, the video games now.
I must confess, I collected them all. Yeah, I finished my collection. They're all on my shelf. No one else can have them.
They really want to make more Mega Man, right?
They want to.
I'm not entirely sure that's the case. demonstrably.
But they said they did.
I have hopes. I mean, they did say, well, no, a guy asked, like, are you going to make more Mega Man games? And they said, we might make more Mega Man games. We're thinking about it.
I thought they said something about wanting one, like, at a consistent rate more frequently.
I don't think that's really... It was like at an investor meeting or something, and it felt kind of just like a deflection of someone asked us directly about Mega Man. Let's say the thing that won't hurt our profits as much as possible. I think they're still probably in collection land. I think best case scenario is they're working on Mega Man Legends Legacy Collection, which would be good to exist.
Legacy Collection like of three games?
Yeah, I mean, but like three PS...
One games, yeah.
One, the PS1, is it PS1?
Yeah, PS1, and the first one's also on N64.
I mean, like, that's not unheard of. That's like, I mean, wasn't that the... I mean, to be fair, like, Crash Bandicoot was, like, remastered three video games. Well, like, but even still, but like...
Will they call it a Legacy Collection, or will they just call it a trilogy?
I think they would call it a Legacy Collection just for the branding sake at this point. Their only other option, because they did the GBA games on Nintendo Switch Online, the Game Boy games, not the Game Boy Advance games. So, like, there's not really... The only other option is, like, Star Force, which is a pretty deep cut. Legends was definitely more well-known than Star Force.
Mega Man, the rest of them, Legacy Collection.
Yeah, or like a miscellaneous. That's the sort of other option that you could get. But I really don't think they're going to do Star Force before Legends. I mean, Legends had had a presence. Battle Network before Legends makes sense from kind of like a sales data, because Battle Network definitely had like the second biggest impact, and that was not direct and was not directly tied to like the clear through line of the classic series, like, you know, Classic X0 ZX. Like, there's kind of a through line and a similar game style through all those. But the fact that they're willing to do it for Battle Network makes me think that a Legends collection is fairly likely. And it also feels like Legends is a series that would most benefit from like an official release on modern platforms.
Because last time it got released was on PS3, right?
Yeah. And so, like, it's a game that's hard to get, and like, if we're kind of, you know, looking behind the curtain a little bit, it's also games that are probably the most difficult of the series to play if you do not own them, if you know what I mean. I mean, I guess like some of the, they're the X games, like the later X games that could maybe fall into that category, but also like those are also the X games that people don't particularly want to play.
Also, those are available in X Legacy
Collection. Right, no, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, the X Legacy Collection covers for that, but also, like, the demand that they're meeting is not quite the same as Legends, because the fancy late Mega Man X games are not the ones that people are particularly clamoring for at any given moment. They're the bad ones, John. You want me to spell it out for you?
They bad. Don't like them. It's been a slow month for video game releases, for, like, new stuff. Like, last thing I remember, like, people going nuts for was the Elden Ring DLC. And as far as I know, people are still talking about that.
Yeah, and it feels like they've been kind of on that for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're just, like, you know, we're coming up on big game season, right? We tried to coin this last year. We'll keep trying it. But, like, you know, this sort of mid to late fall to early December period where all the like, big games kind of get announced, mm-hmm. In preparation for the fake awards that happen at near the end of the year, but not after all the video games have come out, guys. So, not like our real awards that we just had.
Oddly enough, there are no games released scheduled to release in December this year.
At all, so far?
I mean, I'm sure there's, like, indie stuff, but, like, in terms of big releases, there's... Yeah, like, this is a
I mean, thing. It's usually, like, the first week of December that it would happen, right? And I feel like also as we've gotten... There's kind of, like, a splitting of games, it almost feels like, where, like, you know, you've got, like, a lot of indie games... And then you still got, like, a lot of the big heavy hitters, but maybe a lot more of those mid-tier games that would be, like, studios but not first-party studios. You know, like, yeah. The kind of games that filled up libraries like the PS2,
yeah.
Right? Like, who made Knack? Who made Ty the Tasmanian yeah. Tiger? You know what I
who
mean?
Who made Siren?
Like, games like that.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Right? I feel like if people with visions like that tend to go more indie... into a space where, like, and also because there's the indie space, you can, like, keep the budget of the game and the price sort of aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if you're releasing a game on, you know, the GameCube or the PS2, like, there's certain levels of price expectation, right? Where if you make your game too cheap, people will assume that it's not a good game. I think, like, there's a boundary there, right?
Yeah.
Wait.
Like, if you're thinking about that time period where, like, if you saw a $10 GameCube game or PS2 game in the, you know, early to mid-2000s, you'd be like, that's a bad video game. No one wants that.
Yeah, it's like $20 games got immediately classified as shovelware at the time.
Yeah, either shovelware or like I did get Yoshi's Island Game Boy Advance for $20, but like it's a remake of an SNES
yeah,
game,
that makes
right?
Sense.
Like, and also I think a Game Boy game was like $40.
I think it was
normally. $35. So,
actually.
$35 to $40 was kind of the range. So it wasn't that much cheaper, right? That would be more like $30 yeah. for a console game. So like I think that also kind of like you don't have to be part of a studio for your game to come out. So you don't have to, like, try to meet this minimum bar of studio quality. And it kind of feels like we've got, like, the big releases and then indie stuff that is just kind of on PC. And sometimes also you can download it onto a console.
You know what comes out this month?
Squirrel with a Gun?
I mean, probably that one, too. But I was thinking of Emio, which got... a pretty big among the
yeah so
got a good amount of coverage
yeah for like a week and then it was revealed what it was and everyone but me went oh but I mean it's still impressive like a new entry in the Famicom Detective Club series that's incredible for like for even though the remakes came out recently and did decently well out worldwide but the it's cool that they just made another one, and it's also Nintendo's first M-rated game that they developed in-house, or at least a subsidiary developed in-house at Nintendo, which is insane.
Also... Like wasn't there like a Take Pictures video game that was like sort of Nintendo, and they're like, we brought it back. Take Pictures in a scary video game.
Fatal Frame?
Yeah.
They published that. They didn't develop it. It was developed by Tecmo.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. Pokemon Snap scheme.
Pokemon Zombie Snap. I play that. That would be my favorite Pokemon game by default. but yeah, so... MBO looks cool. It's weird that they just dropped that trailer out of nowhere and got so much buzz, and then everyone else went like, oh, it's a detective game. It's like, not as cool. Like, as much as I would have liked it to have been like a Condemned like game from Nintendo, mm-hmm. as awesome as that would have been. It's like, this is a very Nintendo way to make, like, a scary game, I'd say. You don't.
I'm interested in the way the, like, creator was talking about it, and how it's gonna be, like, his magnum opus, and also, he's excited for everyone to find the ending very controversial.
So ooh.
Either great or terrible, I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's gonna go for a big swing. Whether it's a hit or a miss remains to be seen.
Sam, when is this coming out?
August 29th.
Yeah.
Okay. So still a while.
Yeah, we still got a good amount of the month left. But, yeah.
Depending on when you're listening to this podcast.
And then Star Wars Outlaws comes out the next day, so I can't wait for Emio to have a spotlight for exactly 24 hours.
Are people big on that?
It's
a Star Wars game that is getting released instead of canceled. It's going to be pretty big.
Well, generally, I feel like we're in a weird place with Star Wars as a society right now. That I feel like might affect the video game space as well. I understand that like there's the amount of TV shows is not the same as people playing video games. Like that is not a similar comparison, but I could still feel like there's just so much. Like I'm not even following it directly, and yet I'm aware of so much Star Wars stuff right
and
now.
Honestly, that's
and I'm not even paying attention.
Exactly, it's like it's so exhausting for people. To like follow in or like, and it's exhausting for people who aren't following it because that's all they see, because that's all that's recommended on social media stuff. It's like, oh, here's the biggest pop culture phenomenon. It's still going. Here's people still talking about it. And the people that just happen to be talking about it are the loud majority complaining about stuff. But yeah, going back to the game.
Yeah, it's not even a quality thing. It's just like amount.
Yeah.
It's just so much.
But, as for the game itself, I mean, it looks good. It's a Ubisoft game, though. And I think that's what most people are, like, on the fence about. Because it was okay. Because Avatar came out last year, and it was essentially just Far Cry on Pandora, or in the Avatar world. And, which was neat, but it still had the shortcomings of a generic open world Ubisoft game. And Ubisoft has not had a good track record this year, because they finally released Skull and Bones this year after years of development hell, and to a fart of a success, as you would call that.
But it was a quadruple A game.
Yeah, but the amount of time and money that was put into it by accident. I'm sure that when they first developed that, came up with the concept, they had no idea it would like take that long.
How many A's are we gonna get to? Like, how many A's can you say before it just stops beating things?
Quintuple A.
Yeah, they won't say the 1 for 6. That'll be too much.
Yeah.
No game company will say the number for 6
yeah.
Of something. Like, people might try it, but it won't get through the corporate lingo the way that, like, Triple A can. So yeah, I guess 5 is the limit.
I guess it depends on your lung capacity.
Hey, how you doing?
It's a triple A game.
I will say one game I am personally looking forward to. The next Astrobot game.
Oh, yeah, that's soon.
Because, like, when was the last time we had a solid 3D platformer, like, full-fledged, full-price, that was triple A developed?
4?
I mean,
when was the last time we had a sequel to a launch tech demo? also. I know the answer to this
question. Wii Sports Resort.
It's Wii Sports Resort. Well,
no, it's 1-2 Switch.
I don't know if you count Wii Play on
that. No, Wii Play was a retail release. It wasn't a
Oh, yeah, there's 1-2 Switch 2. Uh-huh. That's correct. That's also right.
I'm so smart. I did it. You know what else has a 2 and is a game that is happening?
Mm-hmm.
No. I believe
no.
Go on.
Silent Hill 2.
Oh, yeah, that is coming out.
In October.
And I'm happy it's coming out in October.
Because it's spooky? Is that why?
That's it.
I think so it sounds like we found all the video games. Yeah. We didn't know where they were for a little bit, but we found
them. It's just they're coming in small
ways. We've talked
about
every one of them. There
are no talked about every single
video game. But here's the thing, though. The fact that we had to jog our memories and look up stuff and like to talk about it. It's like
we just remembered naturally.
Can I make my point, please?
No,
it's the fact that we just had to like jog our memories about this. Like when we're excited for a game, like someone asks us, "Hey, what are you looking forward to?" It should be like a knee jerk reaction, like, "Oh, I'm looking forward to Silent Hill. I'm looking forward to Star Wars. I'm looking forward to Mario and Luigi or whatnot." That should have been a knee jerk reaction, but. No, it's like we've been so, I want to say, not even oversaturated, but it's like, there's so, like, not much excitement for all these games coming out, because there's always, like, some kind of lingering shadow of doubt these days when it comes to even AAA games. That just doesn't make us too excited anymore.
Well,
like
it could just
an idea that it's there's no like safe bet, like there's no game that's definitely going to be good.
Yeah.
Is that what you kind
of
mean?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if it's just the fact that we're getting older and because of this we're adults now. It's like we've been burned, or the fact that we've been burned so many times on stuff. Like,
You're finally an adult.
John finally confirms it. My joke was going to be maybe you're getting older.
My back does hurt.
I haven't said anything about that.
If there was a Marvel Rivals release date, I would know it, but there's not yet. So.
I mean, do you have a vibe? Surely there's a vibe of like when this is going to be publicly available.
I mean, before like we got to play the game, I would have said like I don't know, sometime before 2026 probably. But now that like, we've had the alpha, and that was a lot more polished than I expected, and then we have the closed beta that's going on right now, and that, like, was back-to-back. That doesn't mean, like, you've got either, like, another open, or another closed beta next, or the open beta next, I assume, and then probably release after that, so it might even be, like, before the end of the year. So that's pretty crazy. But I assume sometime in 2025 is still the more reasonable bet, but it's a lot further along than I thought. They're adding like new characters to the demo and new maps and stuff too, and they still have a whole bunch more that they haven't shown. So it's gonna be a big launch whenever it's ready.
Yeah, it seems so far like I don't know if it will, but it seems like the contender that will finally have the opportunity to really like take over the space of Overwatch, because I feel like we're really at a point where people who play Overwatch really just want to play a new video game, but none of them have been able to satisfy the same. None of them have been worth the cost of like learning a new game, you know, and I feel like the brand power of Marvel might be enough to kind of carry it over that hump, even if it is basically the exact same video game from what I hear in a lot of ways.
And Sony's trying to capitalize that on too with Concord that's coming out later this month.
But that one's $60.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just feel like the name recognition of Marvel Rivals is really, like, not even a quality thing. Just, like, having some way to stick in your mind among all the other Overwatch not clones, right? But like people who saw Overwatch and said, oh, let me get a slice of that action, yeah. Right?
I mean,
like,
there's also that it is breathing like fresh air into the genre with like the various kinds of destructible environments and how they interact with the players. Cause there's the one we have in the game right now is one that like rebuilds itself slowly. And then they're supposedly adding another one eventually to the Spider-Man Tokyo maps that is gonna, like, when you destroy environments, they're gonna, like, get stuck in the air on webs and stuff because of spider drones walking around. And there's also all the team-up moves that are, like, very iconic from comic books is like a genre medium.
I'm not saying that those things aren't good and won't make the game good and add to the genre. I'm just saying that like the hook that has been missing has been less about whether or not the video game is good and just whether or not there's something to kind of like hook into your brain to like make you remember and distinguish it. Like if there was another video game that was not Marvel that had the features that you had as well as it could while not being Marvel, right? Like it couldn't have the iconic scenes from movie part in it. But like I think it wouldn't be able, it still wouldn't necessarily be able to have that same hook because like there was something very specific about like Overwatch's marketing that also kind of ended up feeling like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Like they had like this narrative that apparently like and the animations from Blizzard and
yeah
they knew how to make cutscenes that people liked from all their World of Warcraft stuff, I guess, suppose.
Yeah, that's the thing I think was that they pretended like they were gonna have a story and it was gonna matter. And that's why I was thinking of like getting into Overwatch when it was first showing, because I was like
really
interested in
it.
The world and the characters, and then they like
kaput.
So they're like, psych, we don't care about that at all.
But they just made videos introducing characters that had been in the game since the beginning for like the entire lifetime of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but with Marvel, with their games like this, or like the games that go on for a while and that you play online, like Marvel Heroes, If there's generally a story that matters, and even during the times where it feels like there isn't, they still find, like, comic book events to tie things into, so there's some sort of storytelling going on.
Yeah, I think having the larger body of work to also carry, right? Like, that's the thing about Overwatch, is that they sort of tease this larger continuity story setting, but then like they had to actually build it all from the ground up, whereas like Marvel Rivals can do some of that, but they can also just reference stuff that already exists, and then there's already a wealth of narrative and story and character elements just there to build off of to kind of drive that same interest that people were kind of hoping to be satisfied with early Overwatch.
Yeah.
Before we kind of realized that.
And they are already,
we got
like
some comics. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff out there now that games have been out for so long, but they really missed, like, the peak of interest in it. Right? There may be, I haven't looked into it recently, and there may be a lot more stuff out there, but since it wasn't there when people were really interested in that, now the only people who are left are the people who are still around because they do like the video game, or liked the video game enough to not want to give it up, even if they don't actually really like it right now.
Yes.
Blue, is Marvel Rivals going to be free to play when it comes out?
As far as I know, yeah.
Want to play it together?
Yeah.
Does it have crossplay?
I'm not sure.
Well, I feel like we've moved away from crossplay for some reason. Like, we just stopped doing it. And I'm kind of sad, because it's caused a lot of problems for Game Cola specifically.
Well, wait, Blue, you have a PS5, right?
I do.
All right, yeah, there we go, we can play.
Yeah.
Is it not going to be on the computer?
It is, it's coming, like, PC, PS5, and Xbox. I just don't know if that's crossplay.
It seems like one of those video games where they kind of want you to play it on the computer, if Overwatch is anything to go by.
Well, I like having a controller.
Even for the ones where you have to aim?
Yeah. I mean, as much as I like... I mean, probably just going to be playing Spider-Man half the time, so I don't really have to aim most of it. I just like
the latest is that Marvel Rivals will have cross-platform multiplayer at launch, but they're not sure about cross-platform progression.
That's fine. I just want to play with friends.
Yeah. So you should be able to do that. We're gonna go to the World Championship. Oh yeah, they're adding. The Olympics is going to have esports eventually at some point, confirmed.
I feel like, well, I remember the last time we looked this up and it was like a bunch of phone games and it was like archery and it was just like the equivalent of a Flash game and it was like, wait a minute. So I don't really trust their track record, if I'm being honest.
It's supposed to be their first actual esports
game. I want Tekken in the Olympics, damn it. How awesome would that be?
Be an Olympic Rocket Man. That's gonna be great.
Raccoon. Dude, like, okay, if you really did do it seriously, I suppose that could help, like, the industry as a whole, because there's, yeah, it feels like it's just sort of missing that seed. And I don't know, like, I feel like sometimes an esport will kind of catch into even, like, the gaming sphere of interest. Like, I think Overwatch did hit that for a bit, where people were like, maybe this can kind of, like, get things over the hump in terms of esports. But even now, like, esports, it almost feels like, you know, esports need to, like, from different video games need to all come together to kind of justify a larger event, right? Like, I feel like you don't have a world champion, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think that might also speak to sort of the presentation of the industry then. But like, you know, you have like the World Cup of soccer, mm-hmm. right? Where they just play soccer. And I feel like with esports, the big event always has to be a bunch of games.
Yeah, with Evo. Because Evo specifically.
Evo.
And even then, that's just fighting games. There's still esports for racing games. And then Call of Duty has its own thing, and like first-person shooters, and then MOBAs, and then so it's like it's too many genres.
Imagine being friends with someone who's training to be an Olympic Mario Karter.
Olympic level Mario Kart.
Super ultimate.
I'll still take them.
Yeah, that and maybe putting Smash Bros. In the Olympics will finally be the incentive to get Nintendo to just stop being so weird about it. Or somehow they'll hate it even more.
Yeah.
I feel like those are the two options. I don't know how this would happen, this would come to be, but some part of my gut feels that there is a future where someone says, like, hey, can we put Smash Brothers in the Olympics? And Nintendo is like, no, I don't want this.
But
and you're like, why? And it's like, because someone might want to play a video game in a different way than we thought they should.
But this begs the question, though. If esports are introduced to the Olympics, what will be the first game? Will it be a racing game? Will it be a shooter? Will it be a fighting game? What would it be?
Part of it is, like, the answer is absolutely going to depend on the year, right? Like, what's going on in video games? Well, it wasn't in this one, right?
Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Right? So first you got to think about, like, it's going to be at least 4 years, because I don't think they're going to start at the Winter Olympics. Obviously, Street Fighter.
Well, I mean, you can play it during the winter.
Saudi Arabia is to host the first Olympic esports games in 2025. So I guess it's not...
Oh, so they want to do it as, like, just a completely separate thing?
Yeah, there's going to be Olympics summer and winter, and then also esports Olympics, I guess.
Oh.
Are they trying to have an Olympics every year now? Is that, and they're like, well, we have to come up with some other category. Because then they have to come up with a fourth one then. What's the fourth category then?
Mental games. Mind games.
Is there an Olympics game where you use a car in any capacity?
I mean, does a luge count?
Like an automobile.
Don't they have, like, jet ski or something like that?
Olympic monster trucks.
Maybe, yeah, maybe a jet ski. But not, like, racing, right? Like, right? So, I feel like there's not going to be... I feel like it would be weird to have a racing esport and not also be able to race cars, regular cars at the Olympics.
Okay, wait.
I feel like that would feel
weird. Here's the thing. I think the real reason, like, why they don't have, like, too many, like, vehicular stuff now is because it's, like, the Olympics are about peak human capabilities. So, like, when you introduce vehicles into it, what?
John, that's not true. It's not true. Don't tell me about
Simone
that.
Biles,
you know why?
Is not human.
Do you know how many horses I have seen do all of the physical activity in a competition, John?
And hedgehogs.
There's so many horse things.
I know, but you still have a jockey like working his butt
days
off.
Days of it. There's still a person in the car.
I know, but I'm just saying, though.
There's like, no, in terms of the argument you are making, there is no difference between a horse and a car.
They are.
Right? Gameful, if people let us know in the comments.
Races, maybe the people get the medal. But in horse races, like just regular, like Triple Crown, you know, when everybody, like every couple of, or few, probably not couple, every few to several years, there's a group of people who only watch horses when one of them can win the really big trophy, the Triple Crown, right? And it's always the horse, right? It's not the people, it's the horse. The people are just hired out to run the horse. And so cars are the same thing.
Horses and cars are genetically very similar, actually.
They call it horsepower because it's the same thing, just different numbers, John.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, what do you have to argue against that? Nothing. I can answer that question.
I do know that all the equestrian events in the Olympics involve actual, like, games.
Horses?
That involve horses.
Horses? They involve horses.
Are not purely racing. They involve, like, games, like, with a horse, like polo. Or vaulting, stuff like that.
No, they have competitions where they literally are just going through the woods, and they put stuff in front of you. Like it's like, oh, you'd have to jump over a log if you were in the woods.
Did they?
We just made it so there's several little logs. So if you only jump over it a little bit, you knock one of them off and you lose some points. But there's ones that are just like a horse race through the woods.
This is what happens when you start arguing about the Olympics with someone who's only watched. On the
horses.
Four of them, and not has really followed. I mainly
I haven't
just
even
watched.
Really followed it. I've just been exposed to the horses enough through various televisions around the city
and Mario and Sonic.
Joe is our resident
and Mario
horse
and Sonic
girl.
At the Winter Olympic Games, which I did think I didn't. So I'm literally just headline reporting, right? Like I saw a headline and now I'm going to treat it as truth. But I saw a headline that was like super confirmed. No more Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, because they don't have the The Olympics just, like, didn't give them the license anymore.
Mm.
So they then commissioned one this
These
this
are
year.
Our games now.
So, yeah, that series is probably canceled. Probably because they want to make, like, mobile games or whatnot instead that are licensed for the Olympics as a tie-in. I don't know. It's disappointing, but at the same time, it's, like, not really a big loss. In all honesty, because while they were fun when they came out, they're great for kids to like, especially to learn about the Olympics and whatnot. Who's really going to miss playing them?
Yeah, I feel like the novelty kind of worn. The novelty has now worn off a bit of like, hey, it's Mario and Sonic in the same video game, but not in like a Smash Brothers way where there's a bunch of people. It's just them. And like this kind of addressing of, and also like kind of the cultural idea, right? Like by the time the Wii came out, we had really come to terms, I feel like, as an industry with the fact that Sega, right, is not going to make consoles anymore. And like, what does that mean for the Mario and Sonic rivalry? And I feel like, in a weird way, the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games were an answer to that question. Like, this somewhat amicable ability to collaborate, you know? Mm-hmm. And now that we have had that, and we've had how Sega has existed as it has, and like, not in any, there's nothing particularly charged about that, right? It's Sega has just continued to exist making video games. And now that it's not like as interesting of a proposition because people have played Sonic video games on the Switch and on the Wii U and on the Wii. So it's not, even though Mario and Sonic together is still kind of a unique thing, it's still, it doesn't have quite the same hold that it felt like it had culturally when it was, they were first announcing, like, whoa, Mario and Sonic are at the Olympic Games together, Mario and Sonic in the same video game. And we're, like, addressing the rivalry and all that. So, yeah, I can sort of see why it's kind of leaving and why people are not that particularly disappointed. I also assume that the sales were not great by the end of it.
Yeah, wait, let me look those up. Hang on. For what was it, Tokyo 2020?
I don't know.
I mean, it was 4 years ago, so yes.
I meant, I don't even know if they made a Tokyo 2020.
They did.
Like, you could have told me that they didn't.
They did.
And I would have believed you.
It sold 900,000 units.
That's almost a million.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't sell that hot compared to other ones.
And I also wonder, like, right, how much of the budget is the license? Or is, I don't know how it worked. Did they get paid to make the video game, or did they pay for the license?
They got paid to make the games. As far as
so, like, in terms of the cost, right? Mm-hmm. Like, getting three, like, you have three different groups involved in that. I'm sure that adds, like, a lot of extra overhead for a game of that quality and for that level of sales, right? Like, there's all this cross-functional overhead of, like, brand image for each of these three different properties, and then to sell less than a million units. Like, yeah, I think the economics just doesn't work out on that.
Also, this box art is horrible.
Well, it's a podcast, John, so no one will have to know.
Yeah, it's not like anyone has access to a browser at all times.
But you know what is in vogue, is doing well in its own way, not financially, very specifically, but because it doesn't have to. I feel like fan games have been on kind of a kick recently, an uptick kick. I don't know if you guys have felt this way. Obviously, Make a Good Mega Man Level 3 has captured all of our hearts. If you don't know, former Game Cola editor, also featured on the Space Quest Adventure Cast, Nathaniel Hoover was a big part of the development of this third entry in a series of fan game. Well, there's more. This gets weirdly complicated. Third numbered entry in this series of fan games where people would submit levels in a sort of level creator, and then they'd all get put together, rated and reviewed, and put together into a video game that then also ended up having a million bells and whistles added onto it. That, and James is like playing solitaire in this in this Mega Man fan game. So like, there's that. And then also things like recently I played a game called Pokemon Rogue, which already itself was kind of a response to ROM hacks trying to, like, of various Pokemon games trying to come up with this idea of, like, how do you turn Pokemon into a roguelike game? And this is a browser-based game, so you can just go to the website. I think it's PokeRogue.net, but be careful that I think there's a lot of similar URLs that are posing as this, so make sure to find the right one. And basically, you pick a set of starting Pokemon. You start with all of the starters, and they're all worth 3 points. And you can't have more than 10 points on your team to start out with. So, like, some of the legendaries are worth 7 points or something, right? And the idea is, while you're playing the game, you can catch them and then add them to your list. And, like, if you catch a Pokemon with a certain nature, then it has access to that nature. So you'll catch multiple instances, and it'll take, like, the best IVs of each one. And the idea is to make it, I think, 200 encounters, and so most of them are like wild Pokemon, and then mixed in with that are things like trainer battles and a rival battle and fighting with like gym leaders sometimes, or like kind of Dynamax style fights where you can't just take it out in one hit necessarily. And, it keeps building up that. And that was interesting. Like, it was a fun experience. I did beat it, like, the main thing. And then the idea is that you try to beat it with, like, different sets of Pokemon each time. And then there were different modes. But yeah, and then also I saw, and I haven't looked through all of this, but James mentioned, it was like someone, and I don't know all of the details, so bear with me a little bit, but someone or some group of people put together like I don't know if it was Mario specific. I think it was Mario specific, but like a E3 for Mario fan games sort of thing, where they announced like a sequel to Super Mario 63, which we talked about on the last podcast. Like an official big sequel. I think it's like Mario 127 or something like that. Like one less than 128, mm-hmm. which is kind of a video game number. And like had elements from like Galaxy and stuff. And I saw a couple other games from it, like a fun like Shy Guy surfing. It looks kind of like taking a Flappy Bird-esque concept and like trying to build it out into a more complicated, in-depth game. I don't know. Are there any other sort of fan game stuff that you guys have been into recently?
Honestly, the one I've been doing was make a good Mega Man level 3, but we've already talked about that.
We will play it eventually. Yes, we will. I was kind of waiting because they keep coming out with patch updates, and I want to kind of wait until we get, like, especially because one of the upcoming ones might actually address some multiplayer changes, which might make our experience a little better. So it's like on the radar for us to come together and do the multiplayer of that. We have not forgotten about it. But yeah, I mean, how far have you gotten through it, John?
Not too far, in all honesty. Like, there was a one time we played with James, and then, like, the next day I played a good amount of the levels after that, but on my own. But, I think I probably did, like, 10 of them. And out of the, what, 50,000 that are in there?
10 levels or 10 worlds?
10 levels.
Okay. Yeah, I've done, like, 2 worlds, I think. I've done the 2 worst ones.
Good.
Did you beat the worst level, John?
Which one was that?
Whatever is at the bottom of the list.
Not that I know of, no.
I feel like you would remember. Did you start at the worst ones?
No, I just did a bunch of random ones.
Okay. It's rough. But I beat that, so I feel like I could beat anything then. What about you, Blue? Any fan games? Does this conversation mean anything to you?
I mean, I posted in the Discord about Marvel Heroes 1 year anniversary of bringing it back from the dead and all the progress that's making.
Oh yeah, like it was an online
MMO.
It was like Marvel Diablo, basically.
Yeah. But with...
And so they're trying to sort of recreate it. So, like, how does that work? Like, are they trying to recreate the servers for all the people who still have the game? Is that the idea?
No, it's... You'd have to have the game files, but it is... I forget exactly how, but it's an emulator of some sort. It emulates... Maybe it's the server, but, like, the... All the, how everything worked and all the, like, behaviors and stuff were actually, like, both client-side and server-side, so, which is not usually how that would happen. So instead of being, like, a completely online game, like most games like that would probably be built, it was more like, it had, like, a single-player mode that just was never used in any official way. It was, like, built as single-player and then modified into multiplayer, which is not what anyone expected.
So is it that you can now play it as, like, a single-player game? Or can you do multiplayer?
You can do multiplayer. You can see each other on your screens, and you can both. Like, use your abilities and stuff and do combat.
But can I punch players?
I don't know.
You never tried? Blue's not violent like that. Blue wouldn't just try to punch you in the face just to see.
I mean, there was a PvP mode, but I don't know if that's implemented at the moment. Probably not.
Yeah, as web like having web functionality is kind of the biggest thing, I think, to like keep your game from having any sort of meaningful element of, oh, I can find a way to play it even if it's the servers are down,
especially if Spider-Man's in it.
Like just the online integration is probably the biggest hurdle to like emulation and stuff for a lot of these games.
And luckily it's like almost a non-issue because it's not how it works, apparently.
Dun, dun, dun. What?
So that's neat.
Alright, that's fan games we've been playing, but what about real video games? Pejorative. Non-pejorative, implying a pejorative on the fan games for the sake of comedy in this particular turn of events.
I'm laughing because of the comedy.
Thank you. I appreciate it when people laugh when I perform comedy on the podcast.
Anyway, games I've been playing.
Now, okay, John, that was too much. That was sarcastic.
You're fired.
Blue was genuine. Blue is genuine in his praise, and you are sarcastic, and that's not acceptable.
There's a difference between sarcastic and performative. No, there isn't. Anyway, so... yeah, one game I've been playing... Actually, Joe, this actually goes back to the topic you were talking about pricing of video games. I've been playing a game that was shadow dropped out of the blue called Nobody Wants to Die. It was a PS...
It's true.
It is true.
I don't.
But it's on PS5. I think it's also on PC. Yeah, it's a cyberpunk-esque first-person detective game where... the main mechanic is that you have this device that reverses time, like a virtual thing. So you basically use it to look at crime scenes and just put the whole crime together, like solving clues and, you know.
Solving clues?
Yes, solving clues.
I've solved this clue.
Finding clues and putting the whole story together.
This is like Return of the Obra Dinn, I think is what it's called, right? Is it similar to that?
It is similar to that, but I'll be honest, this game requires no thinking whatsoever.
Seems like important for a puzzle game.
Well, here's the thing. It's not a puzzle game. It is more of a narrative game.
I see.
It is story and world building through and through. And while the gameplay itself isn't really that interesting. It's more just walking over here, get this clue. Walk over here, get this clue, listen to the dialogue, do this and do that. It's like, it's very, as a game, it's pretty hollow. But as an immersive, like, story, it's honestly incredible. The amount of world building that they do through the dialogue that makes it sound natural and not just, like, exposition being dumped on you. Character interactions, the sound design, the creativity of the setting itself and like what's actually going on in this world. It's all fascinating stuff. It really is. For this, if you're like a big sci-fi nerd out there and you want something like really cool and like kind of different for a sci-fi story, definitely like either play this game or at least watch it on YouTube if you can, because it is worth it. But yeah, because the game is pretty hollow though, it's pretty short. I haven't beaten it yet, but I probably will tonight. But going back to the price thing, it was $25. And it looks incredible. It looks like a next gen like PS5 game. Which I think they only did that, it came out like that because it's so short.
I see. Yeah. So like it very much like bang for your buck, time for your buck. Like really focus in on a high quality over quantity in terms of like amount of things.
Yeah.
So buck up.
Interesting.
Fork over those bucks you have. Don't get McDonald's tonight. Play Nobody Wants to Die. Out now.
What about you, Blue? You played a video game?
I played The Murder of Sonic T. Hedgehog.
We did play that on stream. That was fun. I don't know, John, did you see that?
I didn't because I was at work, but I did play the game and I wrote the thing on it for the Game Gola Awards.
Well, you didn't hear our funny voices then.
Yeah.
I know.
We did excellent voice acting. I'm ashamed.
Yeah. I'm sure it was amazing.
It's too bad that there's no way for you to watch it now.
I know.
When you couldn't live.
I know, if
there
Jimmy.
Was a YouTube channel called GC.net. I know, Joe. I just called the word net.
I just called you Jenny by accident.
Because I did a very good job.
We might do that again. Anything else, Blue?
Look at this YouTube channel you talked about to see if there actually is something there. Because I feel like you're being facetious. It's not like there's a... Oh, my God! I can watch it right now on the YouTube channel. Oh, GC.net, the word G, the letters G, letter C, the word dot, the word net.
The word GC.net. Yeah. I've also been playing Marvel Rivals, because that's in closed beta right now.
And you're in the closed?
Yeah, because I got far enough in the alpha.
I see. Is it a secret? How secret is it?
I define secret.
Well, did you have to sign an NDA?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, because you did have to do that one time.
I did, or at least once.
That's what that one time means.
No, that one time would mean only one time. But I've done it multiple times.
But you just said once.
I'm confused.
You're contradicting yourself, and the podcast recording will vindicate me.
Joe, he signed an NDA. He obviously can't talk about it. Take that.
He can't talk about the NDAs he signed.
Sometimes.
Of course. So, like, what's the state of the closed beta? How are people feeling? What's the vibe?
They added Jeff the Land Shark, so it is 100 out of 10 game. It's perfect. There are no flaws.
I see. But, like, before Jeff the Land Shark got added, what were the vibes?
They added Venom. I think that
Which
was
Venom?
Before Jeff. The Eddie Brock one.
What did they think about the video game and not the cast of characters that were added to the video game?
Oh, it is similar to how it was, except it's improved. So,
do you have any specific details on the improvements?
I was annoyed by when I'm a Rocket Raccoon main, and so I would be throwing healing at everyone all the time, because he's a support class in the game. He's got a little gun that shoots bouncy balls of healing everywhere, but you didn't get enough indication of, like, when and how much you were healing people, but they fixed it, so there's a lot more feedback and indicators. Just lots of, like, quality of life improvement stuff like that. Mechanically, gameplay-wise, it's mostly the same, but, like, the experience is much better. Because of a lot of... They've been taking a lot of feedback. And that's great to see. Because I gave it to them for a reason.
So, okay. Aside from the breakable terrain and the cast of characters, like, what are the biggest differences between this game and Overwatch that you know of?
I don't really play Overwatch. So I don't know
but
exactly.
Do you hear people talking about it? At all? The people who have played Overwatch?
Well, as far as I know, they didn't announce Marvel Rivals 2 and then make every single bit of it that was supposed to be worth making a new game for obsolete by not doing it.
This is true.
So, they've got that for them. They're not also, it's also not the, like, lowest rated game ever on Steam. So... That's neat.
Those are some differences, to be sure.
Yes. There are... I think the Discord... The official Discord has 350,000 members. Which is a lot, apparently.
I feel like, though, you have to compare it to other video games, though. Like, that's a big number, but, like, how does that compare, right? Because it's free to, like, join a Discord once and then never engage with it ever.
Yeah.
I'm in too many.
Oh, I'm in the official DC Universe Online Discord, which, that's a game that's been around for, like, over a decade, right? And on all sorts of platforms. It has less than 20,000 members.
I'm in the official Ace Attorney, like, courtrecords.net, like, Discord, and I have not said a character is worth of text in that entire thing.
So Pokemon Infinite Fusion is a pretty big fan game that got a lot of attention for its unique premise and all the hard work that's gone into it.
Shorts where people are like, my viewers told me to fuse these two Pokemon. Whoa! Yeah,
and it's the Pokemon the biggest thing ever. That one has a Discord community of just under 500,000. So I guess Marvel Rivals is like the second biggest Discord I'm in.
Oh my god, I'm in the Game Ranks Discord? I never do this. I never look in here. Oh my god, I'm leaving this one. I don't know why I joined this.
So it seems to be a lot of people from what I'm seeing. Looking at every Discord I'm in.
I see. Well, I wish you luck in your future Marvel Rivals endeavors.
At the Olympics.
At the Olympics specifically.
Joe, what have you been playing?
I play Pokemon Rogue. That's pretty much it.
Thank you for joining the Game Glow podcast.
I've been trying to decide whether to try to start Mega Man Battle Network 4 again, even though I really didn't like it, or play Golden Sun, because that's on the list of Game Boy Advance games. There's also Pokemon Mystery Dungeon that's back on Game Boy Advance, Nintendo Switch Online. That's a recent thing that happened.
You should also play Infinite Fusion.
Actually, Joe, that's a good idea to have to add to the end of a podcast, like, question. It's like, what game should I play next?
What game should I play? Yeah. Tell me in the studio audience, but not Blue.
He can't refuse.
Tell me in the studio audience what video game that I own already or is free that I should play next of the ones that I listed, or things that you might know that I own through, like, the fact that I have Nintendo Switch Online, and there are video games that I've not talked about on the podcast, or I've not said that I have beaten on the podcast. Tell me what to play, and maybe I'll play it in time for the next podcast.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, what will happen after the end of this podcast, where I tell you, thank you for listening to this episode of the Game Cola podcast. If you like what you heard, please check us out on our actual internet website, GameCola.net, where you can find reviews, the award show, other funny articles that will make you laugh from the year 2010 or something like that. There's a YouTube channel, gc.net, the letter G, the letter C, the word that, the word net. We said it before. There's the stream that we did for the awards where we make funny voices with Sonic the Hedgehog, and James continually encounters his least favorite style of dungeon in Breath of the Wild. Not Breath of the Wild, but Tears of the Kingdom, the sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Kingdom.
I think we sometimes tweet, but not really anymore. But you could do that if you want.
I definitely don't, since I deleted my Twitter.
The big thing, come to the Discord. The link's in video descriptions on gamecola.net. You can find a link to the Discord. Come hang out with us. Tell me what video game to play, and you will have a grand good old time. Is there anything else you guys want to say?
Thanks for listening.
Go play Parasite Eve. It's great.
Is there anything funny you guys want to say?
Let's cancel Joe.
Look, Jetty just showed up. And then that's where you put the outro music.
Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Blue, you didn't say goodbye.
I did.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay, I couldn't hear it.
That's a you problem.
Well, it depends if you're lying to me or not.
I have it recorded on Audible video.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. And by that, I mean we'll hear about that, which means you'll be hearing from my lawyers.